very slippy today and there is flooding all over the place. John Sodo is from UCC. John, you, I would imagine, are also against this incinerator.
Well, I was going to say as my first comment, now you're going to get the case for the defence, I think.
Right.
And that's despite me even living in Crosshaven. So I live in the absolute centre, the epicentre of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And there are reasons. They are really divided into two, and that is to talk about the threat, as it's been called a few times, which I guess are to do with the potential air pollution consequences. I'm an atmospheric chemist. I've been one for 30 years. I'm professor of chemistry at UCC. Mm. So there's that. And there's also the environmental responsibilities of Ireland, I think, particularly to do with hazardous waste. So let's do the air pollution one first, because that's my total area of expertise. So the two major pollutants that you might expect to be emitted from the incinerators are carbon dioxide, of course, the well-known greenhouse gas, but also fine and ultra-fine particulate matter as well. What you don't get is any methane, you don't get any nitrogen oxides, and these days you get no dioxins. You get more of those from your neighbour burning garbage in the back. So we can't get rid of all carbon dioxide. I mean, we breathe out, so you'd have to kill us all if you wanted to have no carbon dioxide. But we should obviously reduce combustion of any sort in the way that you were saying earlier. The fossil fuels, yes, the solid fossil fuels that we use, we have to do something about that. Certainly the government has to do something about that. But we also really need to think about all of the other sources that there are. So the waste incineration will give off carbon dioxide too. But in fact, agriculture gives off 10 times more, and road transport gives off 3 times more. In Ireland, this is. So we don't have that much waste incineration, obviously, where it's in Meath where it is. And really what that does is domestic waste. What's being proposed here is certainly to add the hazardous waste. Now, that does get connected to the fact that, even though I'm not quite sure if I heard correctly before, is that Ireland is the EU's fourth worst waste exporter. We have 38 kilograms per person.
But they're saying, I suppose, John, they're saying that, you know, two of our callers earlier have mentioned that the Poolbeg incinerator in Dublin will have more than enough capacity to cover everything that's produced in the country and that's wasted. And David says on Twitter that he says, you know, there are guarantees have been made on the Poolbeg incinerator that they will be supplied with X amount of waste to burn. So are we basically saying to people, don't bother recycling because we actually need to supply this much stuff to an incinerator?
Well, we do have to take responsibilities everywhere. I mean, if Cork wants to be called the real capital of Ireland, then and Dublin is the capital, Dublin is going to do the incineration. So I think we should as well, because it is down here that we produce a great deal of the hazardous waste. And we also have, as somebody else said, I mean, a number of these incinerators already. So the local companies use to get rid of their stuff. The carbon dioxide argument, I don't think, is a threat. The fine and ultra-fine particles that may come off, which are maybe a hundredth of the size of a human hair, do have a potential threat. What must happen, of course, is for the EPA to monitor, and the companies themselves, to monitor the emissions from the stacks. And I would say also because of the prevailing winds in Cove, quite difficult, though. This is not an easy experiment to... The monitoring of particulate matter is relatively easy these days until you get to very small sizes. As the expectation here, the very high temperatures of incineration will cause very small particles to be produced.
I suppose, John, Mary's issue there was, you know, she said, yeah, monitoring would find it, but she said the EPA don't currently have the capacity for that. And would you have any confidence that, you know, we would set up enough regulation and enough oversight? You know, we all know what happened with the banks, and that seems to be a cultural problem in Ireland, in that, you know, the policing of these things just isn't there.
Well, at the Paris conference just this week, I mean, I think Ender Kenny was going on about the new climate change laws that are going to be brought into Ireland before the end of the year. Mm. And in the prior conference to Paris in Lima, Peru, it was fully understood then is that you must include with any climate change laws air pollution issues as well. And that's really because of those fine particulates. Not only do they obviously have damaging health effects of being respiration, cardio, all of those things, exacerbation of asthma, but also they are greenhouse materials. The black carbon and the brown carbon, these are the things that will come off, that are these very small particles, can absorb heat, just like carbon dioxide. They can cause global dimming, which stops heat coming through. But perhaps, worst of all, they can change the way that clouds are formed and the way that rain may fall.
John, are you potentially saying this might cause more rain?
No, actually, less rain. More clouds.
In that case, I think everybody would be behind you, particularly on a day like today.
As I was driving in this morning, I was thinking, John, you really can't say that. But in fact, it's true. I mean, it's much more true in the equatorial areas because, and that's why we've had, I mean, I would propose, as being proposed by others, why there have been droughts around, because what happens there is that they do enormous amounts of burning of their biomass. These produce very small particles. These particles then take up the water from the land, because as global warming is going on, there'll be more water vapor in the air. It's one of the consequences. When that happens, you get that water spread out amongst lots of these very small particles, and rather than just a few. So you get, rather than big raindrops falling, you get very small droplets, and those droplets don't fall.
Okay.
So you get the drying out, and you get the clouds, but you don't necessarily get the rainfall.
Okay, good. So, okay, we've gotten quite scientific about it here for yeah. a general listenership, but in terms of just going back to the incinerator per se is not a bad thing as far as you're concerned.
I first of all would like to be convinced of the threats that people are talking about. Threats. I think I try to neutralise the threats of air pollution as long as the EPA or the companies themselves, after they build it and during the times that they're using it, so that after 5 years, when things are getting a little bit old,
yeah.
that the monitoring of these very fine particulates, which is tough. They'll probably have to hire in specialists.
So basically, we need to make sure that the regulation is there.
Yeah,
John,
right.
I'm very tight on time here because I've yeah. more ads to take, but thank you very much for that. So John Sodeau is an environmental scientist. He looks after, he basically researches air pollution at UCC. He says on its own, the incinerator is not a bad thing. And he says if it's regulated and if it's monitored, then, you know, he says he's not convinced by the threats that people are saying. I suppose, Eugene, I would have to agree with Eugene on Twitter. Eugene says it's Ireland's sloppy approach to these things that's more of a worry. I mean, the banks would have been fine if only they were actually regulated by the regulator who was supposed to be regulating them. What do you think? 53096 is the text number, and 1850 715 996 is the number to call.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish